Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
Food inflation running at 19%. Want to highlight a tweet or a discussion point from Lynn Alden. And of course, catch you up on the latest housing inventory from Logan at HousingWire. But before we get into the daily financial news for May 29th, we must all, at least if you're in the United States, appreciate today is Memorial Day. Memorial Day is one of those holidays that we should all take a moment to remember. Lots of our folks have served in the military. We have something called, obviously, Veterans Day for those that eventually got to take the uniform off. Memorial Day is for the soldiers who never got to take the uniform off. They paid the ultimate price. So please take a moment to appreciate and thank all of those who served and gave everything. Memorial Day should be one of those holidays we all come together and put our differences aside. Not sure if you can hear that, but even Sonny is saying, please support the troops and think and support everyone who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Oh, all right, guys, I don't know if you heard that, but this is the little guy, Sonny. He just got a haircut and apparently he wants to say hi. So let's get into the daily financial news. Talk about something from Lynn Alden. Lynn Alden is somebody I follow on Twitter. I think she has a wonderful grasp on the macroeconomy, microeconomy, M2 money supply. She is someone I follow. I will admit that I don't always agree with her opinion on kind of the results, but Lynn Alden has a rare gift in being able to think ahead. For example, just today, or at least when I saw it on Twitter today, she is like, folks, don't worry about the X date being when we can't pay our bills and we technically default. She is out talking about you should be more concerned about how the Treasury starts to refill their cash account. All right, most of you don't know what I just said, so let me break it down for you like this. The Treasury likes to run with a cash account balance at about $500 billion. One of the extreme measures that Janet Yellen has been executing to continue to pay bills as we negotiate a raise in the debt ceiling was to lower or drain the cash account. I might sneeze, sorry. Colin's pretty bad in California. So what they're doing is they're draining that. Today, I believe it's under $50 billion, right? They like it at $500 billion. So what will happen once the debt ceiling is passed, more on that in a minute, is the Treasury will come in and compete in the Treasury market, draining liquidity again. You've probably heard about QT, right, where the Fed is rolling off their balance sheet. Now we also might get the Treasury coming in and draining liquidity. So it actually might serve as kind of a double negative. So something to watch, how they do it. Do they go short term? Do they go long term? Do they go reverse repo? We will see, but there is a danger lurking behind raising the cash account, something to watch for. And again, I want to give Lynn Alden a shout out and recommend most of you, if not all of you, follow Lynn Alden, because again, I think she's a wonderful and very thoughtful person to follow. Something else I want to talk about with Lynn Alden. Do you have, I'm asking you, yes, you right there. Do you have any other folks that you follow on Twitter or YouTube? Leave comments below. I am looking to extend the people that I follow, see who's out there, get some more data points. So if you have somebody that you follow below that you like and trust, leave a comment. I might check them out and see if I might want to add them to my Rolodex as well. So thank you in advance for letting me know. Let's talk about housing inventory. Again, shout out Logan at HousingWire for doing his weekly update on housing. We really appreciate that he's doing this. Inventory is up. Active inventory is up. New listings still down. This is exactly what I was talking about 2 weeks ago when interest rates were rising and ultimately broke 7%. Today, I believe it's 7.125. What we are going to see is a rise in inventory, but it's not because of more supply. It is draining demand. So what we are likely to see this month is days on market shoot higher. Days on market are going to shoot higher. We've learned this since last July, that 7% is that psychological barrier where a lot of buyers back away. Whether they back away because it's unaffordable, meaning they get a no answer, or just because they're like, hey, I'm out. But this 7% doesn't fix supply. This is the broken housing market. This is going to continue for at least another year and quite possibly two. But yes, I expect inventory to go up. I expect transactions to go down. And I expect days on market to move up significantly. So again, we will be watching that transpire over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Let's talk about the Fed. So yesterday, I want to thank all of you who left comments and participated with my question. Yesterday, I asked the One Rental at a Time family, what do you think? Will the Fed raise, pause, or cut at their June 14th meeting? Thankfully, 0% of you said cut, so that's good. I would say 60%, maybe 70% said pause, and 30% said raise. It might be 65, 35, it's not. It's just my feel after looking at all the comments. I do ask myself, given that that's my opinion, I suspect that my opinion has influenced others because you and I have been on this journey for weeks, months, and some of you years. And that is my call. So I do realize that I may have some self-bias or whatever in the results, but I do think it's interesting. My community is about 70-30 pause, where the stock market is 70-30 raise. I thought that was interesting. I don't know about you, but let's talk about this. I think this is important. I want to acknowledge that there is a path to a Fed rate increase in June. I believe we have two numbers that could cause a Fed rate increase. And here they are. First, this Friday, we get the May job creation number and the unemployment number. I believe the current expectations for job growth in May is about 182,000. Okay, that's the expectation. If the job creation number is in excess of 220,000, that could put a rate increase on the table. If it's under 187 or 182, whatever the number is, then I think that takes it off the table. Also, I do believe people will be looking at the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate last period, again, was a 52-year low at 3.4%. Expectations are it will be 3.5%. If, again, a big if, the unemployment rate drops to a new low of 3.3 or lower, that could put a June rate hike on the table. Okay, so that's Friday's number. Now let's talk about the big boy. The first day of the Fed meeting, we will get CPI. Consumer price inflation. We will get two numbers that I believe on that day are important. In reality, we do get four numbers. We get year on year and we get month on month. I believe the Fed will be looking at both headline and core inflation year on year. Let's catch you up where we are and what may cause a June rate increase. Headline inflation. Last month continued its decline with a small drop from 5 to 4.9, but still a drop or a decrease. Core did go up. I believe core came in at 5.5, up from 5.4. So I believe, and I believe I've shared repeatedly, that the large base effect, the fall in oil and gas, will take the headline reading under 4.5. But for whatever reason, if headline inflation stays elevated, I'm going to call elevated 4.7 and above, that could put a Fed rate increase on the line. There is a chance, folks, that CPI headline comes in a shockingly low 4.2 or something like that. Again, if you're not sure why that could be, please go in, look up base effect. We are rolling off the largest month-on-month number this month. I think it was 1.2%. It might have been 1.4%. It was a monster. Next month, another monster. These are things that really could take CPI headline under 4% in the next 6 weeks or so. So we have to watch these. But again, if other things take off and other inflation goes, and inflation is 4.7 headline and above, that could put a rate increase on the table. I don't see it, but I wanted to share with you there is a path. We also must watch core. Core broke the trend last month at 5.5. It went up from 5.4. If it continues to go up, for whatever reason, if core inflation goes up from 5.5 to 5.6, I guarantee you there will be a Fed rate increase the next day. So that is the path to getting a Fed rate increase. I believe the jobs number will be less than 220, and I believe CPI headline and CPI core, given the base effect rolling off, will be lower than most people expect. But I did want to share the path to a June rate increase. Now we wait 2 weeks and we see what happens. I don't know if you saw this, but we've been talking about the UK a little bit. They are in some a world of pain, not only their housing market, but there's a new report out that says food inflation in the UK is 19%. 19. That is not good. I do wonder something that we talked about probably 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, was price caps. You know, price caps were something they tried in the 70s. They don't work. They feel good for a minute. The government feels like they're doing something, but they ultimately backfire spectacularly. I do wonder if in the next month or so, we see short-term price caps in the UK. I don't know what you do as a government with 19% food inflation. That is not good. Not good. So again, it's wild to think about, right? An apple costs a dollar and then it costs $1.20 and just milk. And it's just, it's bad. Food inflation is bad. So I know there's been a lot of talk about the debt ceiling. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about this agreement. More than a few of you have said something like, hey, Michael, they don't have the votes. It won't pass, which you're absolutely right. It may not pass. You are absolutely right. But I want you to either remember or please go research TARP, T-A-R-P. TARP was something that was executed during the Great Recession to kind of bail out the catastrophe that we were in at the moment. A lot of you may not know that TARP did not pass the first time. Please go research this. So TARP was orchestrated to put together. It was going to bail out the banking system, yada, yada, yada. It goes in front of Congress or the House. I don't remember which one voted first. Failed. The stock market cratered. Guess what happened the next day or the day after? I don't remember how many days in between. They voted again and it passed. Why do I bring this up? It appears there will be some votes on this debt ceiling on Wednesday. If it doesn't pass, which it may not, you will see an immediate reaction in the stock market and the bond market. You might even see a downgrade from credit agencies. And then bingo bango, Thursday or Friday, it will be passed. That is my prediction. So again, If you don't know what I'm talking about, please go research TARP and go back in the timeline and see what happened when TARP was failed the first time, the immediate market reaction, and then it passed like the next day or the day after. So again, it's possible. It may fail, but don't get it twisted. This will pass. It may not pass the first time, but it will pass the second time. And then lastly, folks, let's talk about my course, How to Get Started One Rental at a Time. A lot of you are interested in real estate investing. You're not sure where to go, not sure where to start, don't have the confidence. You need to get around a better network of people. How to Get Started One Rental at a Time at $399 is the answer. It starts with understanding a buy box. It starts with building confidence, daily repetition, understanding yield. You get to understand network, seller financing, raising private money, all of these things in the course. And you get to join a private Facebook group called One Rental at a Time Works with thousands of other members doing it, interacting every day. In fact, many of you have bought the course already, and if I'm talking to you, thank you, but you haven't joined the Facebook group yet. So if you have a Facebook account and you bought the course, you might as well join the group. It's an amazing place. Everybody is so nice and encouraging and posting wins and asking questions. Be around a group of people doing the work. If you've thought about real estate investing, you're not sure what to do, the first step is learning your market. I get asked that all the time. I'm not telling you to buy. In fact, if you don't know what you're doing, don't buy. You have to understand what an average yield is in your buy box. We only do good or great deals. Most people gamble. Most people get excited by the energy in real estate investing. Don't do that. Do the work. Build confidence. Build repetition. Build that muscle memory so that you can identify good and great deals. So again, you could buy the course. It's below. If you don't have $399, you could buy the $47 buy box 2-hour session with many examples. And again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Amazon and buy this great book, One Rental at a Time. Thousands of 5-star reviews. Thank you for that. If you bought the book, take a selfie, send it over. I have a wall over there with all the great selfies. So if you want to know my story, it's all in here. I start after losing, you know, 6 figures in the stock market and feeling depressed, ultimately to retire financially free at 45. So go buy the book, have fun, take care. And thanks again. For all of you that served, and again, it is Memorial Day. Today is about the folks who never got the opportunity to take the uniform off. They paid the ultimate price. Thank you so much. Bye.